The Chinese model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries.
Led by one of the most powerful people on the planet, G20 governments are discreetly transitioning us to another political system called stakeholder capitalism.
It's the funeral of shareholder capitalism and it's the birth of stakeholder capitalism.
You have shown us the way forward.
I'm a former TV producer and now the CEO of a tech startup who's rejected stakeholder capitalism after discovering what it is.
Like the Chinese state capitalism system, stakeholder capitalism places restrictions on the way we run our companies by forcing us to put the interests of a group of stakeholders first.
Soon, however, stakeholder capitalism will be mandatory for everyone.
We're announcing the UK's intention to mandate climate disclosures across the economy.
In this series, I discover how the stakeholders are propagating the transition.
It's a race against time to keep stakeholder capitalism on track.
By manipulating us to believe shareholder capitalism is making many of us oppressed.
Trans rights are human rights.
Reform is not possible.
Reform is not possible.
And fear climate change as an existential threat.
Just stop oil.
People are dying. Families are fleeing their homes.
After indoctrinating us to want another system, I learn how the stakeholders are propagating stakeholder capitalism as being better for people and planet.
This is the best time for leaders to come together for the world to become more inclusive, more sustainable.
And how this strategy was successful for shifting China to communism.
What's going on in our school and in our country is really a replay of the Cultural Revolution in China. The similarities are terrifying.
In this series,
we will end up with many more unemployed.
I expose the stakeholders' plan to accelerate the speed in which AI takes our jobs.
About 50% of people in the world will be affected.
Leaving us dependent on them and vulnerable to tyranny.
A new useless class. People who are useless of the economic and political system.
And unless we act now, I learn how oppressed we become under stakeholder capitalism.
This means turfing people off their farms.
CBDCs would give officials a powerful tool of control and manipulation.
Banks can now freeze their personal accounts.
This technology can turn our communities literally into digital concentration camps.
Some people are yelling out, "We're starving."
Join me as I investigate the Great Reset transition to stakeholder capitalism.
History is truly at a turning point. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected.
This is Klaus Schwab. He's the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, an exclusive organization for the world's most influential people.
Around one-third of the members are CEOs of multinational companies, one-third are leaders of international organizations and governments, and one-third are from civil society, forming a truly multi-stakeholder community.
His members include powerful heads of state, from Joe Biden and Rishi Sunak, to the President of the People's Republic of China.
We are working closely together with governments from around the world, including all G20 countries.
This is a meeting of major world leaders who are deciding the future of the planet.
50 years ago, this German economist launched the World Economic Forum with a mission to transition the world to another political system called stakeholder capitalism.
In 1970, as a young professor at the University of Geneva, I pioneered the stakeholder concept, arguing that business should not serve only its shareholders, but all those who have a stake in the destiny of the company.
As a consequence, I created the Forum as a not-for-profit foundation.
Despite support from influential politicians and royals, Klaus Schwab has been unsuccessful in enacting stakeholder capitalism. But his network has since grown.
Over the last 50 years, I have further developed the stakeholder concept into a global business citizenship.
Klaus Schwab has now become one of the most powerful people on the planet, enabling him to finally fulfill his mission.
Today, the concept of stakeholder capitalism is finally becoming mainstream.
One of the world's most powerful people have recently, undemocratically, enacted a global transition to another political system.
We are talking about a substantial shift which is taking place to an economy which is more based on stakeholder responsibility.
But despite our governments and the media being partners of the World Economic Forum, nobody has informed us. So what is stakeholder capitalism? In his blog and book, Klaus Schwab describes it as a socio-economic system that he designed from two existing systems. The first being shareholder capitalism.
Commonly referred to as capitalism, shareholder capitalism provides us the freedom to trade with the interest of generating profit for our shareholders.
The second system is state capitalism.
Adopted by communist countries, state capitalism imposes restrictions on companies' freedom to trade by forcing them to put the government's interests first.
In his book entitled Stakeholder Capitalism, Klaus Schwab explains,
from a system of shareholder capitalism, which prevailed in the West in the past 50 years, and a system of state capitalism that gained prominence in Asia and is centered on the primacy of the state, we should move to a system of stakeholder capitalism.
While Klaus Schwab claims he designed stakeholder capitalism from both systems, it primarily shares characteristics of state capitalism.
Like the Chinese state capitalism system, stakeholder capitalism places restrictions on the way we run our companies by forcing us to put the interests of a group of stakeholders first.
Klaus Schwab has undemocratically enacted a global transition to an authoritarian political system.
It's the funeral of shareholder capitalism and it's the birth of stakeholder capitalism.
You have shown us the way forward.
And he proudly shares which system inspired him.
On the one hand, we have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages.
Instead of the state taking control, stakeholder capitalism provides authority to a conglomerate of World Economic Forum elite members who call themselves stakeholders. These stakeholders run large organizations, defined by Klaus Schwab as
governments, NGOs, companies and international organizations such as the United Nations and the European Union.
If I look at our stakeholders, we have business, of course, then we have politics, we have partnerships with many governments around the world, we have NGOs,
media, of course.
Stakeholder capitalism provides the World Economic Forum stakeholders and their executive chairman with an unprecedented amount of control. Yet Klaus Schwab alleges stakeholder capitalism benefits all people and the planet.
All these stakeholders crucially consist of people and make use of the planet. It is no surprise then that they should want to optimize the well-being of all of us as well as that of the environment.
Contrary to Klaus Schwab's claim, the world's most powerful elites do not represent our interests and they appear to value Chinese governance.
The international community is looking to China to continue its responsible leadership.
The World Economic Forum have a large operation in China, where Klaus Schwab runs his ominous Global Future Council to
explore emerging models of Chinese leadership adapted to a new norm of globalization.
And Klaus Schwab is often interviewed by Chinese state media, where he expresses admiration for their communist system.
I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years. I think it's a role model for many countries. The Chinese model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries.
Klaus Schwab has also built a close rapport with the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party.
It is my distinct honor and great privilege to introduce His Excellency Xi Jinping. China has made significant economic and social achievements under your leadership.
In this World Economic Forum address, Klaus Schwab welcomes Xi Jinping as a stakeholder to govern us.
We should join hands and rise to the challenge. I believe this is the best time for leaders to come together and work jointly for the world to become more inclusive, more sustainable.
According to Klaus Schwab, stakeholder capitalism is essential for making the world more inclusive and sustainable.
Inclusive means an economy that empowers people who are allegedly oppressed, and sustainable means a ban on fossil fuels to supposedly address climate change.
These crises have been fabricated by Klaus Schwab so he can enact stakeholder capitalism, a system he alleges is more inclusive and sustainable, as a pre-planned solution.
The world which we want to create with the Great Reset, it will have to be more inclusive.
Inclusive propaganda was the primary weapon used by Mao for shifting China to communism over a 10-year period called the Cultural Revolution. Originating from a Marx and Engels idea, Mao indoctrinated young working-class Chinese to believe they were oppressed by the capitalists, encouraging them to rise up and overturn capitalism in favor of a system that he alleged was more inclusive.
You were 6 years old when the Cultural Revolution began in China.
I just want to let the American people know that what's going on in our school and in our country is really a replay of the Cultural Revolution in China.
Klaus Schwab and his stakeholders are disseminating Marxist inclusive propaganda to encourage us to rise up and demand a shift to stakeholder capitalism.
Reform is not possible!
Reform is not possible!
We need to defund!
We need to defund!
I want people to see there's similarities, and the similarities are terrifying.
Instead of targeting the working class, Klaus Schwab and his stakeholders are indoctrinating our younger generation to believe minority groups across race, sexuality and gender are oppressed by our capitalist system.
I feel guilty that I've not done anything vocally to help the people who are oppressed, and they've been oppressed for so long.
My youngest looks very white, so they would look at her and say, "You are an oppressor."
Marxist ideas such as critical race theory and gender identity are being propagated throughout education institutions.
Books like these are now part of the curriculum,
encouraging young people to join social justice movements that are designed to drive a shift to a system that Klaus Schwab alleges is more inclusive.
This one is A is for activist. Each letter promotes a different form of protest.
N is for no, 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 no.
Noise if you think that trans rights are human rights.
We have seen the signs of anger on the streets, so we have to create a stronger inclusiveness.
In the next episode about propaganda, I investigate how Klaus Schwab's personally trained activists and self-acclaimed Marxists who founded Black Lives Matter have been fueling
growing national unrest.
And I explore the stakeholders' gender identity policies that are indoctrinating us to believe we can be born into the wrong body.
I'm sure there are still people who are skeptical about this transformation.
They have to trust that the era will be inclusive for them.
While we need to do better to address all forms of discrimination, Marxist ideas lead to extreme oppression.
And finally, more sustainable, because the next crisis is already waiting for us around the corner, and it is the climate crisis.
By indoctrinating us to fear climate change, Klaus Schwab's sustainable propaganda is also making us want stakeholder capitalism.
No! Stop it!
Climate activists glued their hands to sports cars.
We demand at this year's World Economic Forum immediately and completely divest from fossil fuels. We want this done now.
His poster child and fearmonger for his climate change propaganda is Greta Thunberg.
We are less than 12 years away from not being able to undo our mistakes.
And Klaus Schwab's solution to the alleged climate crisis.
It's a decarbonization of the economy to protect us against an environmental virus.
The decarbonization of the economy is Klaus Schwab's net zero policy.
We must accelerate its transition to net zero,
which means banning everything that emits carbon.
The main solution is so simple that even a small child can understand it. We have to stop the emissions of greenhouse gases.
This includes our use of diesel and petrol vehicles, as well as travelling by plane.
We must change almost everything in our current societies.
Currently being enforced by Klaus Schwab's politician stakeholders, net zero removes our freedom to travel and imposes Orwellian restrictions on our lives.
It was all very jolly, laughing along as the police held Greta for the photographers.
If the police arrest someone for protesting, they don't typically stop for photos, unless it's a propaganda stunt.
They all got the shots they wanted before the police then walked her away. It's theatre, climate theatre.
I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day.
Sustainable propaganda is designed to make us fear climate change, so we actively demand a ban on fossil fuels.
Are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet and people?
And it's working. Many of us are going to extreme lengths to demand Orwellian restrictions on our freedom to travel.
Menschen frieren. Menschen sterben.
Private jet emissions quadruple for a week each year due to the stakeholders flying to the World Economic Forum's headquarters in Davos to set climate change policies, emitting as much CO2 as 350,000 average cars.
You seem to be joining the establishment, not fighting them anymore. You're not one of them.
One of who?
Well, the people in the private jets and the helicopters flying in here to tell us how to live our lives. The point being, you have to condemn all of them equally, otherwise it's hypocrisy, right?
While our freedom erodes, the stakeholders reserve unrestricted freedom to travel in their private jets by purchasing carbon credits, which they claim offsets their carbon emissions.
A more sustainable way of doing business that values all stakeholders.
We must forget about net zero. We need real zero.
While we need to look after our planet, net zero is a propaganda campaign to justify the totalitarian restrictions Klaus Schwab is imposing under stakeholder capitalism. In the next episode, I investigate the climate change science.
This is from NASA satellite data. Temperature has gone down.
And the stakeholders' sustainable propaganda.
At no point during at least the past 800,000 years has atmospheric CO2 been as high as it is today.
The reason you chose 800,000 years ago is because for 200 million years before that, it was greater than it is today.
Yeah, but there weren't human beings.
So how did it get to 2,000 parts per million if we humans weren't here? Your testimony is not serious.
Throughout history, tyrants have weaponized anger and fear to manipulate good citizens into committing humanity's worst human rights atrocities.
We're angry. We're mad. We're hurt. Well, that fear is going to motivate us.
I'm angry at 31. You angry at 16.
People are dying. Children are starving. Families are fleeing their homes.
Similar anger and fear propaganda is being disseminated by the stakeholders today, making us want another system that's allegedly more inclusive and sustainable.
What we're seeing now through the language of the World Economic Forum, this concept of stakeholder capitalism, which really is just communism in drag.
Discreetly being enacted by our ruling elites, stakeholder capitalism is global communism, rebranded with a catchy slogan to make it appear better for people and planet.
Welcome to Stakeholder Capitalism, a show by the World Economic Forum exploring how economies can be made to work for progress, people, and the planet.
the stakeholder concept, and particularly the ESGs, are a very important part of getting business involved.
To force us to adopt stakeholder capitalism and make it appear more inclusive and sustainable, Klaus Schwab has launched a corporate credit score called ESG. E stands for environment.
In this section, we receive a good score for complying with Klaus Schwab's climate change restrictions.
S stands for social.
Here, our score improves for complying with Klaus Schwab's inclusive policies, requiring us to employ more allegedly oppressed people and support social justice movements.
And G stands for corporate governance.
This means the corporation stakeholders who govern us.
You have been a fabulous partner in promoting the stakeholder concept. What you did is actually to speak out on social issues. Your support for LGBTQ rights.
In order to receive a good score, more brands are hiring ambassadors from the trans community.
This month I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood. Check out my Instagram story to see how you can enjoy March Madness with Bud Light and maybe win some money too.
And the stakeholders are supporting other inclusive policies.
Starbucks says employees will now be allowed to wear Black Lives Matter apparel as part of its dress code, and now they're even making t-shirts for them to wear.
If we do not comply to Klaus Schwab's Marxist policies, a subsequent poor ESG score will mean no more funding. The CEO of the largest money management firm in the world and considered the most powerful person on Wall Street, Larry Fink, is a World Economic Forum board trustee. BlackRock focused their investments in companies with good ESG scores.
At BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
That's an investment criteria for you.
If you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race, you're going to be impacted, and we're going to have to force change.
By starving non-compliant companies of funding, investor stakeholders, such as BlackRock, are forcing companies to adopt stakeholder capitalism.
This will allow investors to see how the company performs on matters such as climate change, workplace diversity and inclusion, and as a consequence, a sea change in the way companies are run.
One elite who rejected his invite to the World Economic Forum and is sounding the alarm about ESG is Elon Musk.
We don't want basically some sort of communism rebranded thing, which is like a lot of what ESG is, to be inflicted upon corporate America without the knowledge of the actual shareholders, which is what's going on. The public is being lied to.
Elon Musk tweeted, "I'm increasingly convinced that corporate ESG is the devil incarnate. People who follow the Great Reset and the World Economic Forums often warn against it."
Elon also tweeted,
"WEF is increasingly becoming an unelected world government that the people never asked for and don't want."
And,
"How is WEF Davos even a thing? Are they trying to be the boss of Earth?"
Criticizing our new boss of Earth will guarantee a poor ESG score.
Tesla, a company that makes electric vehicles, has a moderate to moderately poor score. Somehow, out of the five U.S.-based automotive companies, companies like Ford, which make gas-guzzling trucks, Tesla's ESG score is the worst. Why is that? The score is political.
What I'm particularly proud of in the case of the development of those ESG metrics is that the initiative came from business, from our 100-plus CEOs.
And his 100-plus CEOs will, of course, be guaranteed a good score.
So the company reigning at the very top of the ESG scoring list is Bill Gates founded Microsoft.
With this metrics, the business world will finally be able to walk the talk on their commitment to ESG performance and the stakeholder principle.
Recently, I rejected a request from my investors to report ESG metrics for my startup. But according to Klaus Schwab, I may soon have no choice.
As regulators look set to mandate separate sustainability reporting requirements, we encourage all companies to join the Forum's Stakeholder Capitalism Metrics Initiative.
This mandate call to action is led by this middle stakeholder, the UK Prime Minister.
we're announcing the UK's intention to mandate climate disclosures by large companies and financial services firms across the economy by 2025.
By the end of 2023, the UK and several other countries had mandated large company environmental reporting. And the UK, EU and Australia have announced reporting could be made mandatory for all companies in 2024. With China as the model, ESG will likely evolve from scoring companies to scoring everyone, just like their social credit score.
The state will go over every detail of a person's life with a fine-tooth comb, their financial situation, spending habits, career, even behaviour on social media. Criticising the government online is a no-no.
As with the ESG score, the Chinese social credit system forces compliance by punishing people who break the government's rules.
When Xiaowen Wang makes an electronic payment, her purchases tell the state a lot about her. Buying cigarettes would count against her. She'd be better off buying water. The cinema names and shames people considered untrustworthy, plastering their details, even their addresses, across big screens.
In a country that's banned over 20 million people from travelling for having a low score, you don't want to disrespect the government.
The Supreme Court has created a blacklist for so-called bad citizens. On it are companies, but also 23 million people to date. Among them is this journalist, Liu Hu. He got a little too close to uncovering corruption among high-profile party members.
Once you're blacklisted, you can no longer get a bank loan, start a business, buy an apartment, or even send your children to a private school.
And it's not just our human rights we should be concerned about. Since 1900, communist governments have killed 100 million citizens, with many of those victims being in China over the past century.
Between 1960 and 1962, 30 million people died from starvation during the so-called Great Leap Forward. During China's 10-year shift to communism from 1966, Mao indoctrinated the young working class to rise up and attack anyone who favoured capitalism, resulting in millions murdered. In 1989, thousands of human rights protesters were massacred by tanks and heavily armed troops in Tiananmen Square. Today, Xi Jinping is leading an Orwellian campaign of control and intimidation, using the media to brainwash citizens.
Journalists are being arrested and newspapers forced to censor or close down.
Due to the Marxist ideology opposing all forms of religion, over 1 million Uyghurs and other Chinese Muslims are currently being tortured and often killed in re-education camps designed to erase religion throughout China.
Lessons are watched over by police, carrying shields, batons and handcuffs. And the documents describe the response to students who attempt to escape. If warning shots are ignored, the order's clear. Shoot them dead.
Zhang, the whistleblower cop, says he got double his normal salary.
Were the suspects all men?
Men and women.
Kick them, beat them bruised and swollen, knock their heads on the radiator. Police would step on the suspect's face and tell him to confess.
Tie him up and trample his arm, shackle their hands, pour cold water, put a water pipe into his mouth and tie him up.
He was raped by Chinese prisoners who followed the orders of prison guards.
The police there ordered me to take off my underwear and let me...
And bend like over.
That. So I cried. Please don't do this.
It's normal that some people die. That's just how you get used to saying it.
Where was your niece held?
The same detention facility I stayed. I don't know how she died.
If you want people to confess, you use the electric baton. We would tie two electrical wires on the tips and set the wires on their genitals.
For many Chinese prisoners of conscience, torture and the risk of being murdered is more preferable than the punishment for confessing to the crime of having a religious belief.
Just for growing a beard, Tursun Kadir was sentenced to 16 years in jail. Many others have been jailed for listening to illegal religious lectures, including Tursun Memtimin and Ashigul Turgan. The documents don't say whether their daughters have been sent, like so many others, to the state-run boarding schools built alongside the camps.
He insists he can forgive the men who jailed and tortured him.
I don't hate them, because all of them victim of that system.
Modeled upon that system, Klaus Schwab has enacted a global transition to stakeholder capitalism.
Today is a milestone in implementing the stakeholder principle into the management of companies.
A system that provides the stakeholders with a terrifying amount of control.
It's a burst of taking care of all the different stakeholders.
You need to commit to stakeholder capitalism. You need to commit to being net zero.
By starving us of funding and mandating ESG, Klaus Schwab is forcing us to adopt stakeholder capitalism. Since he launched the World Economic Forum 50 years ago, Klaus Schwab has failed to enact stakeholder capitalism. What, therefore, makes this decade different?
Artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, cloud computing, advanced robotics, and many others. The fourth industrial revolution has become a reality.
In 2017, Klaus Schwab published this book.
And with my book, I coined the notion of the fourth industrial revolution,
describing how the economy will become disrupted by artificial intelligence.
It's coming like a tsunami. It will be overwhelming to see how fast the change will happen in an exponential speed, like the Internet of Things. Of course, drones, robots, artificial intelligence. This technological revolution changes how we consume, how we produce, how we organize our supply chain. It changes us. Just think of sensors planted into our brains.
And the reason why Klaus Schwab is excited? AI is about to take our jobs.
I'm convinced that we will destroy, unfortunately, a lot of employment. Just think of self-guided cars and all the drivers losing their jobs.
Steering wheels moving, seatbelts fastened, no one's behind the wheel.
Imagine a huge Amazon blimp floating in the sky that can send delivery drones out all across the city.
Our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, and who masters those technologies will be the master of the world.
When AI takes our jobs, our wealth will shift to the stakeholders who own the machines, making us desperate, dependent, and more vulnerable to tyranny.
Here is the line.
This will make Klaus Schwab significantly more powerful.
This is your not very worried, this is your very worried.
But to camera, he acts worried.
You're really worried?
I'm really worried. Because we have the congruence of so many challenges at the same time.
And smugly, he explains how bad it will get for us.
That's serious.
Yeah, it's serious.
Every past industrial revolution, such as the third, which was brought on by the invention of the internet, resulted in jobs being lost, but more new jobs were created. The fourth industrial revolution, however, marks a pivotal time in our evolution, when AI takes our jobs, and the number of human jobs will reduce as the technology continues to advance. Subsequently, most of our wealth will shift to the stakeholders, who own the machines.
If you take the fourth industrial revolution, it will have a tendency to increase even the gap and to foster social exclusion.
This transfer of wealth ends badly for us.
So what we see is an erosion of the lower middle class.
In fact, this erosion of wealth will affect most of us. And it began happening exponentially in 2020, when his politician stakeholders strategically closed their businesses.
Non-essential businesses in New Zealand must now close.
Workers who are finding that their jobs are under threat or going through no fault of their own.
Small businesses feel they're being targeted unfairly.
To shut down small businesses while allowing those same products to be sold at Costco and Walmart makes no sense at all.
The digital industry will go out of this crisis strengthened, but we know that many industries which rely particularly on physical interaction will have difficulties to survive.
When the politician stakeholders forced us to close our businesses, the market value of their largest tech companies almost doubled, while more than 160 million of us were pushed into poverty.
A recently released report by Oxfam says that two-thirds of all wealth earned since 2020 was earned by the world's richest 1%.
Oxfam write,
as billionaires gather in Davos in person for the first time in over 2 years, they have a lot to celebrate. During the COVID-19 pandemic, their mountain of wealth has reached unprecedented and dizzying heights, at the same time as the soaring cost of living is hurting so many worldwide.
As they were benefiting from the lockdowns, the stakeholders discreetly published the Future of Jobs report, declaring 50% of our jobs will be lost to AI as early as 2025.
The COVID-19 pandemic-induced lockdowns and related global recession of 2020 have created a highly uncertain outlook for the labour market and accelerated the arrival of the future of work. By 2025, 85 million jobs may be displaced.
And alarmingly,
50% of all employees will need reskilling.
There is no evidence enough new human jobs will be created to manage the machines that take our jobs. Therefore, using reskilling instead of jobs lost is misleading at best. Klaus Schwab also announces our imminent jobs crisis ambiguously.
The unemployment the impact on livelihoods, about 50% of people in the world will be affected, taking the combined effects of COVID-19 and the fourth industrial revolution.
According to the report, job disruption is being accelerated by the politician stakeholders closing our businesses during the pandemic. It also explains,
there is an ever larger need for a great reset.
We will end up with many more unemployed. We have to prepare for a more angry world. I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
Merely 4 months after COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, Klaus Schwab published this book, COVID-19, The Great Reset.
His book proposes a broad array of changes to our political, societal, and economic systems, as well as an increase in government control.
While we were locked down, Klaus Schwab also launched his ambiguous The Great Reset initiative, which we discover is to transition the world to stakeholder capitalism.
The World Economic Forum is now very much engaged into this initiative of shaping a great reset.
Throughout all the Great Reset's ambiguous content, such as this promotional video, Klaus Schwab makes no connection to our imminent jobs crisis or stakeholder capitalism, until he launched a private summit called The Jobs Reset.
Welcome back to The Great Reset on day one of the Jobs Reset Summit, which is being held as COVID-19 is not only wiping out jobs, but also changing the way millions of us work.
And the World Economic Forum's managing director declared our jobs crisis on The Great Reset podcast.
World Economic Forum managing director Sadia Zahidi.
In the last few years, I think we've seen the growing threat of technology to jobs. By 2025, humans and machines will be at par in terms of how those tasks are being divided. About half of their employees will need reskilling. In every single job, there is the expectation that at least 40% of the core skills in that job are going to change. Now, that is a massive number for most of us to absorb. It basically means that roughly half of what we're doing is going to look different in terms of the tasks that we do day to day.
I'm delighted to welcome you to the Great Reset Dialogue on harnessing the fourth industrial revolution.
In this discussion, the host asked whether the Great Reset has anything to do with jobs.
The big fear people have about the fourth industrial revolution relating to their jobs, their concern is that there will be casualties of this revolution, and that the idea of a reset is really about resetting them out of the workforce and replacing them with robots.
And this stakeholder, the CEO of Black & Decker, replied,
the fourth industrial revolution had been slowly wending its way into global supply chains during the 4 years since Klaus Schwab published his work. And then the Great Reset came along. COVID-19 struck. All of a sudden, the digital revolution accelerated. And it's clear that countries, industries, companies, and people with the requisite resources and skills, they will emerge as the big winners, and the gaps will only widen for those that are under-resourced or under-skilled.
Initiating the Great Reset, the stakeholders closed their businesses to accelerate our transition to a jobless economy, as explained by the president of the World Economic Forum.
Studies show that in the early days of the pandemic, the world leaped ahead 5 years in terms of digital uptake, accelerated these technologies only in 2 months.
And demonstrated by the growing number of us who have become homeless.
The number one reason why people lost their home is because they lost their job. Dr. Margot Kuchel at the University of San Francisco conducted one of the most comprehensive studies on homelessness in nearly 30 years.
So what they told us is they literally had no way out. They had no transportation, no phone, they had no money. They really were stuck.
As our wealth shifts to the stakeholders, growing poverty will make us vulnerable to tyranny, providing Klaus Schwab the power to enforce stakeholder capitalism.
It's very clear that the devastation from the pandemic could be felt far and wide in terms of livelihoods, in terms of people losing their jobs.
It's now a historical moment, a crucial moment, to rebuild the future, to reset our policies.
But just how vulnerable do we become?
Capitalism, as we have known it, is dead.
Let's explore what happens to our economy when AI takes our jobs.
Each of our necessities has a supply chain. Take food. Someone grows it, someone packages it, someone distributes it, someone retails it, and someone delivers it. At each step, people are paid for their contribution towards getting it to our dinner tables. And our salaries are spent back in the supply chains on various goods and services to ensure we get everything we need. Money rotates to create a healthy economy. This system that we call capitalism incentivizes us to work across the supply chains, enabling us all to have everything we need for living within a civilized society. In the fourth industrial revolution, however, our jobs increasingly become replaced by AI, leading to most of us losing our salaries. All the money that would have gone into our pockets will shift to the elites, who own the machines, causing the wealth gap to widen at an exponential pace. With less money moving around the economy and our companies finding it harder to compete, more businesses will begin to make redundancies, thus exacerbating the problem. This compound effect will cause the economy to shrink until it finally collapses.
And that's not the worst part.
In most countries, we have benefit or welfare systems to provide people who are unable to work with a financial safety net. These benefit or welfare pots of money are financed by the tax that's paid by people who work. But when fewer people work, less tax is paid, and the benefit and welfare pots shrink. Consequently, there's not enough money to support the growing number of unemployed. This results in a relatively small number of companies owning most of the wealth and much of the population experiencing third world levels of poverty.
As far as I can see, our economy will crash when AI takes most of our jobs, forcing us naturally to rethink our economic systems. Klaus Schwab figured this out and devised a plan to accelerate our transition to the fourth industrial revolution, a jobless economy with widespread poverty, empowering him to accomplish a mission he's worked towards his entire life.
The message from 2020 should be abundantly clear.
Capitalism, as we know it, is dead.
What is at the forefront is to create a new model, a new concept, a new definition of capitalism.
Often, Klaus Schwab and his stakeholders promote the Great Reset transition to stakeholder capitalism subtly.
The Great Reset Initiative has a set of dimensions to build a new social contract.
Now it's time for our generation to define a new social contract.
And sometimes
we must reinvent capitalism.
They're more direct.
Every country from the United States to China must participate. And every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism.
We are grateful for your leadership and stakeholder responsibility in accelerating the transition.
But this long-standing stakeholder, King Charles of the United Kingdom, has a different approach.
In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model.
At the World Economic Forum's 50th anniversary in 2020, Charles spoke vaguely,
helping to transition our existing systems,
and repetitively,
and accelerate our transition,
about a transition in our economy.
It is my greatest possible hope that you will join me this year in accelerating the transition to sustainable markets.
Instead of stating the transition is to stakeholder capitalism,
transition to sustainable markets and a net zero economy,
Charles explains the transition is to a net zero economy.
Transition pathways to decarbonize and move to net zero.
As the royals mustn't engage in politics, Charles speaks cryptically, using stakeholder capitalism slogan instead.
People and planet.
On three separate occasions.
People and planet.
The King shows support for ESG.
An increasing number of corporations are adopting ESG methodologies.
And making it mandatory.
There are now growing calls from financial institutions and companies alike to make disclosure mandatory.
After dishonourably and treacherously promoting the Great Reset transition to stakeholder capitalism on stage, his speech was made into another ambiguous promotional video entitled The Great Reset.
And the time to act is now. Thank you, President.
Charles explains,
inspired by the Great Reset's call to action, I called for a Marshall-like plan for nature, people and the planet.
He wants to
reset the ways in which we live.
The King is one of many powerful stakeholders colluding in the Great Reset transition to stakeholder capitalism. Other stakeholders include the Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund.
History would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset.
The Secretary General of the United Nations.
All elements of the Great Reset are fundamental to building the future we need.
Some Prime Ministers.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset.
And the disruption is an opportunity for us to reset.
And their resident climate change propagandist.
This is a time for a great reset.
Modelled on China's decade-long shift to communism, the Great Reset is the name of our 10-year transition to stakeholder capitalism.
It's a time frame repeated throughout the Great Reset's initiatives.
Britain to impose petrol car ban by 2030.
As explained by Klaus Schwab.
A social contract to transform our world by 2030.
And confirmed by the King himself.
With 2020 being seen as the super year, kick-starting a decade of action for people and planet.
With our decade of action for people and planet, as Charles puts it, becoming achieved by 2030, we're over one-third of our transition to full stakeholder capitalism.
By ordering us to close our businesses, the stakeholders created a recession that's accelerating the speed in which machines take our jobs and our wealth shifts to them.
After 50 disappointing years of supporting Klaus Schwab's vision of transitioning the world to stakeholder capitalism, the Great Reset now provides Charles some hope.
Nearly 50 years of trying to champion this cause, I cannot help feeling that finally we are ready to change our trajectory.
And after 50 years of failing, Klaus Schwab's lifelong vision is finally coming to fruition.
I imagine the conversations back then, in the context of the 70s and the 80s, were freer markets, trade, liberalisation. I assume that was your agenda.
From the beginning on, this was very much devoted to social and, I should say, environmental issues.
Today, the fourth industrial revolution provides this tyrant an opportunity to inflict tyranny that's more extreme than any past fascist regime.
If you know enough biology,
and you have enough computing power and data, you can know my personality type, my political views, my sexual preferences, my mental weaknesses, my deepest fears and hopes. And you can do that not just to me, but to everyone. Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people.
The stakeholders will have the advantage of weaponizing artificial intelligence to enforce compliance.
Today, the newest bot in blue was sent out to its first crime scene. Meet DigiDog, the newest member of the NYPD's Technical Assistance Response Unit.
There are an estimated more than 300 million surveillance cameras in China.
Many of the surveillance cameras in use in China now are equipped with facial recognition, which simply gives the authorities the ability to track who specifically has gone to which precise location.
In some early indoctrination centers, neurosensors are fitted into headbands to measure the children's level of concentration.
This fifth grader, whom we caught dozing off in class, told us his parents punish him for low attention scores. Classrooms have robots that analyze students' health and engagement levels. Students wear uniforms with chips that track their locations. There are even surveillance cameras that monitor how often students yawn during classes. The government has poured billions of dollars into the project.
COVID became an opportunity to harness technology for inflicting cruelty, keeping the Chinese population locked down for nearly 3 years.
This community is in total lockdown now. Stay in your room. Do not open the window and sing. Control your soul's desire for freedom.
Some citizens in the authoritarian nation are losing it, defying the lockdown by screaming from their apartment windows into the night. It's straight out of a dystopian sci-fi movie. Some people are yelling out, "We're starving."
To explain the consequence of AI being weaponized against us, Klaus Schwab invited his philosopher stakeholder to the stage.
If this power falls into the hands of a 21st century Stalin, the result will be the worst totalitarian regime in human history, and we already have a number of applicants for the job of 21st century Stalin.
Klaus Schwab. He's hailed as a harmless hero, but is more like a dangerous dictator of our jobless new world.
To build back better, we must reinvent capitalism.
In 2020, the World Economic Forum released the slogan for the Great Reset.
So that's what this summit is all about. It's leveraging this crisis and build back better.
This is only the beginning of how we think about building back better.
A true recovery from COVID-19 will not be about putting things back together the way they were. We need to build back better, to reset. Building back better is about much more than corporate social responsibility. It's about reinventing capitalism itself.
Klaus Schwab designed the Build Back Better slogan to encourage us to support the Great Reset, an evil plan to acquire most of our wealth and leave us at their mercy.
From Hollywood to Venice Beach, scenes from what could be a disaster movie. Officials here last counted more than 66,000 experiencing homelessness in January 2020. But that was before the pandemic struck and hundreds of thousands of Angelenos lost their jobs. Since then, our partners on NBCLA's investigative team have captured these images showing a situation spiraling out of control. Tents taking over intersections, stretches of the iconic Venice boardwalk now resembling a refugee camp. It's a reality no one is comfortable with.
This is my home.
I just can't understand how a country would allow people to live like this.
As more tents go up every day.
You may have heard about the Great Reset.
Well, that's the agenda of the global elites who want to remake capitalism in their image. Now, the advocates for the Great Reset use phrases like build back better. And if you listen closely enough, you'll hear political leaders all over the world parrot that mantra. It's hardly a coincidence.
When leaders of the free world, who are supposed to represent the interests of their citizens, publicly collude in the Great Reset of capitalism, the vast extent of the corruption becomes blindingly obvious.
We're gonna build back better our democracy and restore humanity. We're gonna
build back better.
Building back better.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Build it back better.
Building this country back better.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Many governments, such as the US, the UK and Canada, have enacted Klaus Schwab's Build Back Better inclusive and sustainable propaganda policies, hoodwinking us into believing our future is prosperous.
It looks as though COVID has massively accelerated changes in the world of work. And as old jobs are lost and new jobs are created, this government will build back better.
And the first plank of my Build Back Better plan rejects the defeatist view that automation and globalization mean we can't ensure American workers lead to a future made in America.
Because we can only build back better if we lean on one another. So thank you to all of our entrepreneurs across the country for everything you do for our communities.
When I say climate change, what do you think of? I think of jobs. Green jobs. Green jobs. Build back better.
We're gonna build back better our economy.
Hi. We all want to work together on building back better from the pandemic, a slogan that I think Joe has used several times. I think he may have nicked it from us. But I certainly nicked it from somewhere else. I think probably some UN disaster relief program. But we want to build back better from the pandemic.
In 2020, the World Economic Forum explained,
the Great Reset of capitalism will only work if it includes everyone. But almost half of the world's population has no access to the internet.
Unless we rapidly tackle the challenge to bring high quality universal internet access to all, we will not be able to build inclusive economies or achieve our sustainable development goals.
In 2021, G7 leaders launched the Build Back Better World initiative, using our money to accelerate all developing countries' transition to the fourth industrial revolution by providing the fast internet they require.
By mobilizing trillions of dollars of investment capital that's sitting on the sidelines, there is an urgent need for infrastructure development.
While we lose our homes, the stakeholders are spending taxpayers' money on building the infrastructure required to enslave everyone on the planet.
It's your world which we are discussing here. And to integrate you into this Great Reset initiative is absolutely essential.
So there are some people who claim we are now in a deglobalizing world, but actually, I would say we have to re-globalize this world.
How did someone with an ambition to transition the entire world to a Chinese communist system get all governments and influential organizations to carry out his plan?
When I mention now names like Sis Merkel, Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Since he founded the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab has been targeting ambitious young professionals and educating them within his Young Global Leaders program to become ambassadors for stakeholder capitalism. By harnessing his powerful network throughout the deep state, Klaus Schwab then places them into positions of power. He explains,
we integrate YGLs into processes that allow them to have a real impact on global affairs.
One YGL Klaus Schwab is particularly proud of is the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau.
He was asked which country he most admired and referred to China.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, investing in solar.
What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, so we penetrate the cabinets.
Once he penetrates the cabinets, Klaus Schwab's young global leaders are required to
inform and influence decision-making and mobilize transformation
with an unsurprising mission
to shape a more inclusive and sustainable future.
So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. And it's true in France now. I'm here with the president.
Here are the heads of all G20 countries propagating the stakeholder capitalism slogan at their 2021 annual meeting.
Recent years, you've had Vladimir Putin, you've had Xi Jinping, president of France, the chancellor of Germany, leaders from all over the world. To get these leaders, do you have to call them and say you're personally invited?
No, usually the presence is the result of a longer friendship in certain cases. For example, Mrs. Merkel. There was a young member from Eastern Germany appointed to the cabinet as environmental minister, and we made her a young global leader. And I could go on and on.
And his young global leaders are dominating other sectors. As Klaus Schwab explains,
they are CEOs of Fortune 500 corporations, in royal houses, in leading NGOs and national non-profits, public figures in civil society, sports personalities, and more.
Here are some young global leaders who are executives at
Virgin, Dell, Microsoft, Blackstone, JP Morgan, General Electric, Reuters, EMI Music, Ben & Jerry's, Ford, Siemens, Puma, Motorola, Yahoo, Sony Pictures, Amazon, Hyundai, Avon, Estee Lauder, Barclays, Lehman Brothers, Hewlett-Packard, eBay, Goldman Sachs, McDonald's, Alibaba, Google, Nestle, Viacom, Salesforce, Skype, Nokia, Avis, Expedia, McKinsey, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook and Meta, OpenAI, BlackRock, Pfizer, Wikipedia, Black Lives Matter, PayPal, Uber Eats, and more.
After indoctrinating CEOs and ambitious young politicians, Klaus Schwab has captured most governmental, non-governmental, and Fortune 500 organizations. So why are you hearing all of this from me and not mainstream news? It's because most media companies are owned or run by a World Economic Forum stakeholder and are disseminating propaganda. In the US...
Hello everyone, I'm Karen Cho, co-anchor on CNBC.
This is CNBC promoting stakeholder capitalism at the World Economic Forum.
It feels as though it's a race against time to keep stakeholder capitalism on track in 2023.
This World Economic Forum stakeholder, Tim Davey, is the Director General of the BBC. He explains,
the BBC is principally funded through the licence fee paid by UK households.
Digging deeper, the BBC is largely funded by a conglomerate of World Economic Forum stakeholders, from the UN and EU to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Donors also include foreign governments, the World Health Organization, and partners such as Facebook.
They donate valuable, unrestricted income.
This funding evidently buys the stakeholders considerable influence.
We can tailor the partnership towards delivering on key environmental, social and governance, ESG.
The BBC also promotes stakeholder capitalism on their website. Unsurprisingly, the UK media and online regulator, Ofcom, is also a World Economic Forum partner, and their chief executive, stakeholder Melanie Dawes, is driving a World Economic Forum censorship initiative, which has led to the UK Online Safety Act.
The internet as we know it faces a very real threat, said Proton CEO Andy Yen, who says the bills give the government the power to access people's private messages.
This recently enacted law is particularly a concern for platform owners like myself, who investigate the stakeholders' corruption, as the BBC explain.
Breaking the rules could result in fines of up to 10% of global revenue for tech companies, or £18 million, whichever is bigger. Their bosses could also potentially face prison time as a punishment.
Incarceration of publishers of information they disagree with. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised because Julian Assange, a publisher of information they don't like, is already incarcerated.
More frightening, governments around the globe are discreetly passing laws that grant another World Economic Forum partner, the World Health Organization, and the Director General totalitarian control upon declaring their next health emergency.
You have the power to shut down any business. It takes away all the protections that being in a democracy offers.
In the next episode, I investigate how this zero-draft treaty has all the hallmarks of stakeholder capitalism.
It said under the WHO's own figures, 60% came from 276 stakeholders. So it's clear there's a strong external influence on the policy of the WHO.
And I investigate the new online safety laws that are currently being enacted around the globe. Despite these terrifying examples of how Klaus Schwab is controlling the media and stripping us of our sovereignty, most of us won't believe it's really happening.
We have all been subjected to the most powerful, coordinated, globally harmonized, military-grade propaganda campaign in the history of the Western world.
Over the past few years, we have been indoctrinated to believe a false narrative that has been scripted by the stakeholders and propagated by the media. Whenever someone like myself promotes a counter-narrative, we have been conditioned to automatically dismiss it as a dangerous right-wing conspiracy theory.
By definition, these are highly refined psychological warfare tools that were deployed on the entire population.
After watching irrefutable evidence of our ruling elite transitioning us undemocratically to an authoritarian system, which of these three options describes how you feel?
I'm concerned about our human rights. Something suspicious is happening. It's a dangerous conspiracy theory.
If you are anything but extremely concerned about our human rights and future, Klaus Schwab and his stakeholders have changed the way you think.
We need to address this issue of changing our mindset.
Indoctrination is caused by the repetition of information. Once we believe something, there is no evidence that can persuade us otherwise. Those of us who lean towards the indoctrinated end of this scale cannot accept our ruling elites are colluding in the great reset of capitalism.
That's, what is it? I can't remember what their word is, but it's something communism. It's communism, that is.
This is the mayor of Glastonbury Town in the UK. With stakeholder capitalism set to transform businesses and the lives of everyone in her community, I invited Indra and her 15 councillors to watch this documentary with me. Only four councillors bothered to show up, and this was the mayor's reaction after she saw it.
You've put a few things together that don't go together, Ying. You have not done any critical thinking.
But that's exactly what I've done.
No, you haven't.
Critical thinking is questioning the official narrative, rather than just believing it.
Right now I'm too angry, because that is not good, okay? What you've put up there is dangerous nonsense. You are inciting people to something that is not real. That is not going to happen. It's not a thing. AI is not a thing, okay?
It doesn't matter how much evidence this film presents, an indoctrinated person cannot accept it's happening.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I really don't.
But it's happening. You've heard the world elite saying it's happening. I have been asked to do ESG. Stakeholder capitalism has now been enacted around the world.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
So why is it not happening for you?
Why is it not happening
for
me?
You said it's not happening.
I don't... The whole China thing, that is racist nonsense. That is never going to happen, okay?
I'm not the first concerned person to approach Glastonbury Council. In March 2023, over 100 residents attended their council hearing to voice concerns about the great reset of capitalism.
A group came to the council, a mob really, and she was going on about net zero and how it's against our freedoms. freedom to drive and freedom to fly were one of the human rights that they were citing. This is my therapy bit. Yeah.
Indra is a good person. She is just unable to accept the evidence presented.
You're heavily indoctrinated.
Oh, great. I would say you are a little bit twisted.
And this level of indoctrination will make it impossible for her to protect the human rights of her constituents.
What you're doing is dangerous nonsense, and you know it.
The stakeholders' propaganda is so sophisticated, they have manipulated us to believe exposing their corruption is dangerous. But who precisely is it dangerous for? Sharing evidence of the stakeholders colluding in the great reset of capitalism is only dangerous for them.
This is your future. If you've got any children, this is their future too.
To regain control of our governments, we can work from the bottom up by ensuring our local councils are not indoctrinated by the one thing that really is dangerous, the far left ideology.
People need you to be able to step up and fight for them.
Do what?
Well, first of all, not run away and tell everyone that it's all rubbish. It's happening. We are transitioning to stakeholder capitalism.
Communism thrives by indoctrinating us to believe the restrictions are for our safety and to improve society. This is how the Chinese feel about their social credit system.
I think being ranked is a good thing. A society has to have rules.
It forces us to be well-behaved.
This is how the Chinese feel about publicly shaming fellow citizens who report government corruption.
It's a matter of principle. Those people have to be condemned.
Those people aren't honest, so they have to pay the price.
And this is how the Chinese feel about their government monitoring their children's brains.
We spoke to parents who were unclear about where the data ended up, and they didn't seem to care too much.
Over the past few years, we've also been indoctrinated to believe the lockdowns, mandates, exclusions, cancels, and censors are all for our safety.
Some fear we're already witnessing worst-case scenarios.
With their climate change propaganda now in full swing,
we must just stop oil!
We are moving towards a world with Orwellian restrictions on our freedom to travel, one that benefits the stakeholders who own the machines.
You will use an app like Uber, but not anymore to call some driver, but automatically guided car, a self-driven car. I had a discussion with the mayor of Los Angeles, who told me in 2030, Los Angeles will be private car-driven free. And this will allow to transform highways into parks and other public spheres. Or another bet which I would make with you.
The further we transition to stakeholder capitalism, and the more indoctrinated we become, the harder it will be to restore democracy.
The very nature of work will change.
Our generation is going to have to deal with tens of millions of jobs replaced by automation like self-driving cars and trucks.
In this series, I investigate the stakeholders' plan to financially support us when our wealth shifts to them and our welfare systems break.
Governments may have to consider universal basic income.
We should explore ideas like universal basic income.
How our universal basic income will be funded.
People like me should pay for it. And a lot of you are going to do really well, and you should too.
How much they'll give us.
Multinational enterprises will be subject to a minimum 15% tax rate.
And in which currency it will be paid.
Central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, could be a digital version of money. It would be issued directly by a central bank.
As the stakeholders can't give 8 billion of us their money,
the central bank will have absolute control.
They will need to ensure they get it back by restricting us to purchasing food and leasing homes exclusively from them.
By programming CBDC, for what kind of use this money can be utilized, for example, for food.
Similar to how a coupon works.
So this programmability can help government agencies to precisely target their support.
In this series, I explore how a programmable CBDC would also enable the stakeholders to control our behaviour.
CBDCs would give officials a powerful tool of control and manipulation.
By cutting access to our money for travelling outside of our towns, CBDC could be used to enforce climate change restrictions.
This technology can turn our communities literally into digital concentration camps.
Justin Trudeau being accused of tyranny.
If the propaganda has made you unaware, they've done this to us already.
Banks can now freeze their personal accounts, the accounts of anyone linked to the Freedom Convoy.
Banks have already started to freeze the accounts of people involved in the protests.
Starve off or choke off access to money, which of course has now been funding this.
They locked up your trucking accounts.
That's right. And then also we have another business and they locked that account up too.
Unbelievable. Wow.
And they didn't just freeze their money. They froze the bank accounts of people that were donating money.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've targeted opposing politicians.
Nigel Farage, exclusive bank Coutts, has closed his account due to his political status.
If they can do it to me, they can do it to you.
They already are.
Anas Atukwiti, he's been debanked 6 times.
It's because of my activism. It's because of my political views.
Sky News has spoken to numerous individuals who have had accounts closed. None of them have been told why.
And CBDC could be used to silence our speech.
If we finish up with social media checks on the bank accounts of every individual in this country, we'll finish up with a Chinese-style social credit system.
We are just increasing our debt situation.
In this series, I investigate a potential economic crash that would enable the stakeholders to build back with their central bank digital currency.
The national debt of the United States has exceeded $30 trillion for the very first time.
Failing to increase the debt limit would have absolutely catastrophic economic consequences.
If we look at the Great Reset, this is comparable to what happened in the Great Depression.
Instead of the taxpayer,
it would threaten the savings of Americans.
I discover who will bail out the banks when the next financial crash happens.
It's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But, I mean, they're going to be.
This will result in a shift in risk, away from taxpayers and towards bank debtors and creditors.
The World Economic Forum explain our bank loans and savings could be used to bail in the banks.
I almost think you'd scare the public if you put this out. Like, why are they telling me this? Should I be concerned about my bank?
If and when we do have to have that announcement on Friday night, ideally Friday night, that people are in a position to receive it, understand it.
For us to purchase food with our universal basic income from them, the stakeholders must own the food supply chain.
Bill Gates became the largest individual owner of farmland.
In this series, I explore what they aim to feed us.
GMO wheat, every piece of corn I've ever eaten is GMO corn. So these are things that billions of years of using these products have been done. These are proven products.
Fortunately for the stakeholders, the most expensive food for them to produce is conveniently killing the planet.
Cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. So we need to change
cows.
In this series, I investigate which protein they will provide us to eat.
Artificial meat, like Impossible or Beyond Meat, both of which I invested in.
We'll have the convenience of printing it from our homes, or luckily for us.
Today, the European Commission has officially declared mealworms to be food.
We can choose real meat that's climate change friendly.
Mealworms, crickets, grasshoppers. These tiny insects, just over 2 centimeters long, could be key to feeding the planet.
After scaring us with fear propaganda.
Climate change. It threatens to tip tens of millions of people over the edge into food insecurity, followed by malnutrition, mass hunger and famine in a crisis that could last for years.
I investigate the World Economic Forum's initiatives.
The Netherlands will host the World Economic Forum Food Innovation Hubs.
that are designed to stop us farming.
This means turfing people off their farms.
Massive farmer protests have broken out around the Netherlands.
Thousands of farmers have been protesting on the outskirts of Delhi.
Trudeau is not alone. Leaders from four countries, they want governments like India to scrap farmer-friendly laws.
Good evening. Farmers all over the country walked off the paddock today and took their tractors to town.
Every fifth farmer you see here today will be gone by 2030.
Hundreds of French farmers drove their tractors to Paris.
Last weekend, once again, I had a colleague who killed himself.
You're not the only farmer with this problem.
Farmers are heartbroken. Absolutely heartbroken. And they don't know where to turn.
Thousands of farmers from southeast Murcia.
Well, from all over Ireland, we have no option. We are not paying carbon tax.
Hundreds of farmers have driven their tractors into the centre of Belgium's capital.
Thousands of farmers from across Germany descended on the city.
When we all have to go, where does the food come from?
To house us when their machines take our jobs, they will also need to own enough family homes.
In January, 33% of all homes purchased in the U.S. were bought by investors, often Wall Street-backed companies with multi-billion dollar funds.
Private equity firms like BlackRock are purchasing entire neighborhoods of single-family homes.
Permanent capital is now robbing Americans of that dream, singing "You'll Own Nothing and Be Happy."
In 2017, Klaus Schwab published this video telling us what our lives will look like by 2030 under stakeholder capitalism.
You'll own nothing and be happy.
We'll own nothing because AI will take our jobs.
1 billion people will be displaced by climate change.
Under the guise of climate change, smart cities will house the unemployed so the stakeholders can easily govern us.
There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history.
A carbon tax will restrict most of us from travelling, so Klaus Schwab has designed cities with everything we need within a 15-minute walk.
Whatever you want, you'll rent, and it'll be delivered by drone.
And
you'll eat much less meat.
This is because meat is expensive for the stakeholders to feed our growing unemployed.
The US won't be the leading superpower.
That will be China.
We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees.
And by the time we reach full stakeholder capitalism, Klaus Schwab warns,
Western values will have been tested to the breaking point.
In the next episode, I explore all Klaus Schwab's agendas and
on behalf of the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, I'd like to extend a very warm welcome.
I investigate the stakeholders' involvement in the lead-up to the pandemic, which was essential for launching the Great Reset.
Essentially, all people are susceptible. It could lead to a severe pandemic, an outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere.
I also learn how the stakeholders funded the development of a highly contagious coronavirus in a Wuhan lab.
Gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute and was funded by the NIH.
You do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. And you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Anybody who's lying here, Senator, it is you.
We basically canceled the whole Chinese civilization, pre-communism.
In the next episode, I expose how the World Economic Forum stakeholders have been cancelling, censoring, and smearing anyone who shares the truth.
It's an immediate leap into a terrifying mechanism that we only see in totalitarian societies.
Did the U.S. government ever contact you to censor or moderate certain tweets? Yes or no?
We receive legal demands to remove content from the platform from the U.S. government and governments all around the world.
And I explore how they dismiss the Great Reset as a right-wing conspiracy theory.
The conspiracy theories are coming fast and furious. Can you explain how the Great Reset conspiracy started?
Next time, I further investigate Klaus Schwab's Marxist and climate change propaganda that he claims is
for the world to become more inclusive, more sustainable.
and I explore who funds our governments when we lose our jobs and less tax is paid.
Governments will be incentivized to act in the large companies' interest.
As well as our new social class, the stakeholders expect the fourth industrial revolution will create.
Those who fail in the struggle against irrelevance would constitute a new useless class. People who are useless from the viewpoint of the economic and political system.
We are moving from a world more or less dominated by one superpower into a patchwork of a multipower world with one superpower, one competing superpower.
With China becoming the leading superpower, have the stakeholders partnered to build a one-world government, enabling them to live extravagantly, while we, the so-called useless class, live oppressed and in poverty.
The East-West divides. We risk what I've called the Great Fracture, tectonic drift that would create two different sets of trade rules, two dominant currencies, two internets, and two conflicting strategies on artificial intelligence. This is the last thing we need.
We are just over one-third of the Great Reset transition to stakeholder capitalism, and we've already experienced a pandemic, a significant transfer of our wealth, lockdowns, the closure of our businesses, anarchy, a cost of living crisis, a gender identity crisis, recession, two wars.
All these challenges are interlinked, and they are piling up like cars in a chain reaction crash.
And we still have the challenge of fighting their climate tyranny.
London's Lord Mayor launched a doomsday clock warning that we only have 6 years and 24 days to save ourselves from terrible global warming.
The stakeholders even have the audacity to launch a clock that counts down the time until we reach full stakeholder capitalism.
King Charles helped turn on a climate clock, counting down the seconds to 2030.
Politicians are increasingly imposing authoritarian restrictions on the population. They're making us less free. They're making us less prosperous.
And our darkest days are yet to come.
We are nowhere near ready for the pandemics to come.
Especially the disease X, it's attracting a lot of attention.
According to the World Economic Forum's recent cybersecurity report,
a far-reaching, catastrophic cyber event is at least somewhat likely in the next 2 years.
Next time, I investigate potential economic disruption from a cyber attack, as well as other threats Klaus Schwab is warning about.
Because there will be certainly what we call the black swans, the unpleasant surprises which will come.
But it doesn't need to be this way.
What would your message be to America if they continue to go down this road?
I just want people to know that the freedom is fragile, and we can lose it any time if we don't defend it.
Around the world, many influential people are fighting for our freedom. Within parliaments,
we will continue to fight for freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. We will not shut up, and we will not stop.
Some of the world's brightest awake minds have formed an alliance.
Our vision for ARC is to build a community of people of courage and strength who will quite literally rebuild the foundations of our nations. We believe there is a better story, and it is one of optimism that sees a future of abundance and opportunity, one that is rooted in the infinite value of every human being, built on the freedoms of freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and woven together with kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control by a responsible people. Jordan Peterson say shortly, welcome aboard the Ark.
Welcome aboard the Ark.
And the heroes are not just the courageous people on stage. Millions of us behind the scenes who have taken to the streets, posted online, educated family, and rejected the stakeholders' policies, have played a significant role in changing history, as the World Economic Forum explained in their recent The Future of Jobs report.
The human-machine frontier has shifted, with businesses introducing automation into their operations at a slower pace than previously anticipated. Today, respondents have revised down their expectations for future automation to predict that 42% of business tasks will be automated by 2027.
Compared with the stakeholders' 2020 projections, our activism has postponed the transition by 2 years and reduced the automated tasks by 8%. We are at war with the stakeholders.
For them to win, they need to ensure the majority of us remain ignorant of their true agenda and support the transition to net zero.
For us to win, we need to help many more of us recognise our ruling elites are transitioning us to communism and collectively say no.
They want to impose a curfew on you. Say no. Take the power away from them. Simply say no.
Let's speak about the great reset of capitalism more frequently, remembering our silence is more harmful than upsetting someone who's indoctrinated. And instead of arguing the semantics of how many genders there are, let's just explain what it really is. It's just communism.
From lockdowns, closing businesses, mask mandates, vaccine passports, cost of living crisis, recession, and name-calling, smearing, cancelling, and censoring, to chemically castrating children and climate change, pandemics, poverty, hunger, and death. It's all just communism, the result of too much centralised power.
Just communism. The more we repeat it, the more people will believe it. The one thing the stakeholders fear the most is us coming together and becoming organised. By collectively pushing back, we become a force to be reckoned with.
I know that more and more people will step up.
That's why we're building a new kind of forum, one that's designed to put us in control.
Yellow Dot Forum is a not-for-profit organisation that pledges these following initiatives.
We are driving a campaign to inform journalists about the Great Reset transition to stakeholder capitalism and restore freedom of the press.
Please help by tagging or sharing this documentary with mainstream journalists.
We will help communities transform councils to ensure local politicians are protecting our freedoms.
This bottom-up approach will help us take back control of our governments.
We will continue our investigation, provide regular news, and host interactive debate shows.
Together, we can design a future that works in our favour.
Celebrities and influencers, we understand the threat you face of being smeared and cancelled, but they can't do it to everyone.
Be among the first brave heroes to speak up by using the Great Revolution hashtag.
Unfortunately, we don't have long. If the stakeholders crash the financial system and many of us lose our jobs, it will put us in a vulnerable position.
But we still have an opportunity to stop our transition to stakeholder capitalism. So join Yellow Dot Forum today, and together, let's shape the Great Revolution.